Alrighty, this morning we want to look at what I'm entitling a new series entitled The Sway of They. The Sway of They. How many of you know that we live in a culture that is that shows a lot of antipathy toward Christ and shows a lot of antipathy toward his ways? You know what I mean by being antipathetic is that they're not sympathetic. They're the opposite. They are against Christ and what Jesus stands for and who all Jesus is. And anybody who takes a stand for Christ in this day and age will always invariably be met with opposition. Amen? We will be met with opposition. And so, I want to delve in the next couple of weeks, and that's all this little series will last. I want to talk about how to thrive in our relationship with God when there is opposition by a few people. So that's why I want to entitle this message, The Sway of They. And if you have your Bibles, let's look at Numbers chapter 13, please. Numbers 13. While you're turning there, let me provide the background of what's happening here. And that is that, God had told Moses in verse 1 to send some spies, 12 spies, into this land that God had promised the nation of Israel. It was a beautiful land, and one spy for each of the 12 tribes of Israel. And so Moses, in the first number of verses, you see all the spies from which tribe they came. And he told them, listen, I want you to bring back an analysis of the land. I want you to see if the fruit is good, if there's productivity, if there's produce, if there's a prosperity in that land or not. I want you to see if the walls or if the cities are walled and fortified or if they're not. I want you to look at the inhabitants and see how the inhabitants are, so on and so forth, and even bring back a sample of fruit. So Moses sends them off, right? They're gone for how long into this land doing an analysis? Can somebody tell me? They're gone for 40 days, right, into the promised land. And so in verse 26, so they departed and came back to Moses and Aaron and all the congregation of the children of Israel in the wilderness of Paran at Kadesh. They brought back word to them and to all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. Then they told him and said, we went to the land where you sent us. It truly flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. Now, let me stop there. The saying milk and honey, that's not literal that it had flowed with a lot of milk. Can you imagine the cows if it flowed with that much milk and honey? That means it flowed with health and prosperity. That saying milk and honey means that the land flowed with health and prosperity. Honey was used for medicinal purposes at that time, and milk represented fruition, prosperity, okay? So that's what the land signified. It's a land that flowed with health and prosperity. And you're going to see how healthy the inhabitants were. They were giants. Okay? Then they told him, verse 27. Then they told him, we went to the land where you had sent us, and it truly flows with milk and honey. This is its fruit. Nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong, and the cities are fortified, and very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south. The Hittites, the Jebusites, the Amorites, the Campsites, the Mosquito Bites, and the Camplites. And the Canaanites dwell by the sea and along the banks of the Jordan. Now, did you notice they're bringing back a factual report? But the word that tipped the report from fact to fear was the word nevertheless. Did you see that? Verse 28, nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are what? Strong. The cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. Okay, we'll do a Wednesday night Bible study on all these tribes of giants and such, and what they represented, and how they intimidated God's people, and how they their spirit lives today to try to intimidate us. Verse 30, then Caleb quieted the people before Moses. Now, why would Caleb need to quiet the people before Moses? Because after that word, nevertheless, what do you think it's doing to the congregation of the people? They're getting fearful. They're like, uh-oh. If there was music to this movie, it'd be like, how many of y'all saw Jaws? Right? And then you'd start seeing fins pop up from the water. Okay, so we see the complexion of this narrative changing. Notice, Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once, take possession, for we are well able to overcome it. Who likes that report? Who likes to be around people that says, you know, it might be tough, it might be hard, but God is on our side and we can do this. Who likes that? Or who likes the other one? Well, let's be realistic here. I believe in faith, but... Okay? So we see here, Caleb wants to go. And we see further in the narrative that Joshua is with him. Now, verse 31, but the men who had gone up with him said, we are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. Uh-oh. See, this is no longer factual. This is no longer factual. This is now subjective emotion. This is subjective fear. God wanted them to bring back a factual report. Just give the facts. Just the facts, ma'am. Just provide all the facts. No subjective emotion. Verse 31, but the men who had gone with him said, we are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. Verse 32, they gave the children of Israel a what kind of report? A bad report of the land, which they had spied out, saying, the land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants, and all the people whom we saw in it are men of great stature. Now, do you see they contradicted the report? At first they said, oh yeah, it's a land that flows with what? Milk and honey. But now they're saying, but this land devours its inhabitants. Let me ask you a question. Did this land devour the 12 spies? It didn't devour them? So what's this now? This is fear talking. How many of you know, church family, let me interject here. If you are fearful, fear, your talk will always be negative. Your talk will always be depressing. You will find that people won't want to hang around you. Or you'll attract the wrong people. You'll start a... let's be fearful, anonymous group. Hi, my name is Joe, and I don't want to recover because I don't think there's recovery for me, for my addiction, but I'm a fearful person. Okay, verse 33. There we saw the giants, the descendants of Anak from the giants, and we were like grasshoppers in our own eyes. And so we were in their sight. Now, let's analyze that last statement. To them, how many of you would say they had a low self-perception? They had a low self. We were like grasshoppers in our own eyes. Okay, that, once again, that is subjective. That is not factual. God did not want subjective emotion. God did not want subjective opinion. And then they go on to say... and then they stretch it out and they said, well, even in their sight, we were like grasshoppers to them. Was that true, church family? That the Israelites seemed like grasshoppers? Because just verses before, you had this dude called Caleb that was ready to take possession of the land because he knew that he served a God of more than enough, a God of all things are possible. Come on, somebody. You know, I feel that our spirits are like little satellites. And I want to ask you, we're like little satellites. What kind of network are you downloading into your spirit? Are you tuning into the, oh gosh, let's be doomsday preppers. Let's can fruit, let's can vegetables because the end times is here. Let's stock up on armaments. Let's stock up on ATVs. Let's live underground because there's going to be a nuclear fallout. Are we tuning into that network, or are we tuning into the all things are possible miracle network? What are we tuning into, church family? Listen to me. Because what happens here, let me give you the nutshell of it. 10 spies ruined it for over 2 million people. 10 spies. Did the Lord take kindly to this report? Did the Lord take kindly? No. Let me tell you what happened. The Lord said, fine. He was pretty put out. Look at chapter 14. He was pretty put out. He said, as sure as the glory of the Lord lives, these people will not enter the promised land. He said, you will stay in the wilderness for how long? 40 years, 1 year for every day you were spying the land. Okay? And then he wants to destroy them. And Moses intercedes for the nation. He said, Lord, what are all these other tribes going to say? These people, the Amalekites, the Jebusites, what are they going to say about you that you delivered them out of Egypt so you could destroy them? So let me ask you, and what happened to the 10 spies? Off with their heads. 10 people, the sway of they. Let me ask you a question this morning. Who is the they in your life? Who is the they? You know what I found? Can I say this? I'm going to say this anyway. I've got the microphone and I'm the pastor. You know, in 30 years of church life, God's people are notorious about the they.
Hey, Pastor Joe, I want to have a conversation with you. There's a group of people that don't like this or they don't like that. And we need to talk about it because they are not very happy. And so I ask, who's they? Oh, well, we do not divulge names in this church. We just want to keep confidentiality. You're laughing because you know it's true. We want to keep confidentiality, but they, and you know, over time and experience, you know what I found?
That usually the person that comes to me with a they, they're the main person with a problem. Bubba, can I say this again? I didn't get off the turnip truck this morning. The sway of they. Who's they? Who's they? Who are the people that are saying you cannot advance in your walk with God? The doubters. The haters. Do you realize there are haters, church family? There are haters in the culture. And listen, I've learned not to drink of the haterade. Like that, right, Mel? I don't drink the haterade. You know, I'm too busy because I want to advance in my relationship with God. And can I have a mercy umbrella, church family? Can I continue speaking? I have found that there are haters in the family of God, not necessarily this church family, but I'm saying in the body of Christ in churches, there are haters. There are haters. And these haters will tell you, they don't like you taking steps forward. They'll try to keep you at their level of spirituality. So who are these people? The they. Who are the they? Do you realize I have a friend of mine that grew up in the East Coast and often went to the beach? And they and their father would go crabbing, you know, catch crabs. And they said that the way to keep crabs in a bucket is just have two, no more than two, in a bucket, and they won't get out because as soon as one tries to get out, the other one pulls them down. Do you know that? One tries to crawl out. Nope. Down they go. So you can imagine a whole pile of them in a bucket. They're not going to get out. Do you realize that there are some people like that in all of our lives? Hey, I'm going to advance. You know, Kim T., free to be me. We're gonna do this. We're gonna post these great goals. And that's awesome. But there, have you encountered haters? There are haters. Family, there are haters that would keep you from doing and being all that God wants you to be. You know, when before I went off to school to Tulsa, Oklahoma to study theology. Well, first, I'll just give you a quick rundown. You know, my mom is saved. She loves Jesus. She supports me as a pastor. She's thrilled to pieces that I'm a pastor in the service of the Lord. But can I tell you that when I got saved, she was totally against it. My dad was totally against it. You know why? Because I was upsetting the apple cart. They liked me better getting into trouble with the police, getting in trouble with my friends in the neighborhood, than me giving my life to Jesus Christ and trying to live a productive life. I upset the apple cart. I upset the family dynamics. And then I go to ministry, and I remember my dad sitting me down and said, Joe, I want to give you a talk. It's a much-needed talk. I want you to understand that you are a brown man in a white man's world. True story. How many of you know that sometimes the hating can come from some family members? No, you can't do that. You can't do this. You can't be that. I remember when I was training for my first marathon, I was getting injured so much. I was, oh my gosh, it was such a struggle. And I had some guy that was a great runner, and he was telling me, Joe, you're just not cut out to run marathons. Okay? How many of you know that had I listened to all these people hating on me, that I would not be where I am today? Right? I've run the Boston Marathon twice, baby. Well, Joe, are you proud? Baby, I'm proud because I put the effort. I'm proud because I did not listen to the haters. I did not listen to the sway of they. Who's they? Who are the theys in your life? Who are the ones that are trying to hold you back from getting closer to God? Haters. Haters. Can we support each other? Can we encourage each other? If someone is farther advanced than us, let's go on with your bad self, brother or sister. Go on with your bad self. Let's not be a part of the hating. And let me tell you here, church family, listen to me. There are consequences to listening to the they. The children of these people in the wilderness were not allowed to enter until 40 years later. You know, the Lord said, those that are 19 years of age and younger, they'll eventually enter, but not for 40 years. It kept the children of the parents who didn't want to go in, it kept them from enjoying a better life for 40 years. You know, after my divorce, I've got to be honest with you. I was a little bitter. I was sour because of the way it all went down. I was led to believe that we were going to work it out, and then all of a sudden, Shazam! The gauntlet just was thrown down. And you know, my first knee-jerk emotional reaction. How many of you know that your first knee-jerk emotional reaction is always wrong if it's out of raw emotion? You know what I did? I took all of my study helps that I had acquired for years and I threw them in the trash and I said, I'm done with ministry. I don't want ministry. My first knee-jerk reaction. And then the Lord began to deal with me ever so patiently. And gave me a change of mind. How many of you are thankful that God is patient with us? Amen. That he does not give up on us when we're ready to throw in the towel. Amen? And so I, you know, the point I want to say here, church family, is listen, tune them out. Who are they? Well, they don't like it. Who cares? Do they write your checks? Why are they important in your life if they don't believe in you enough for you to advance your life and get a better life? Right? Listen, go with me to Joshua chapter 2. I can go in all kinds of directions, but let's land the plane. Joshua chapter 2, please. So these spies that kept the nation of 2 or 2.5 million people from enjoying God's promised land, they said of themselves that they seemed like grasshoppers in the eyes of the inhabitants of this land, right? And then they said also, which was extremely subjective, they said, and we were grasshoppers to them as well. Okay, let's see if that was true. Joshua chapter 2, verse 9. And said, this is Rahab talking to the two spies that Joshua sent in, and said to the man, I know that the Lord has given you the land, that the terror of you has fallen on us. Whoa. And that all the inhabitants of the land are faint-hearted because of you. So who was afraid of who? The giants were afraid of the nation of Israel. And Israel saying, no, we're like grasshoppers to them. Verse 10. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to the two kings of the Amorites who were on the other side of the Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. And as soon as we heard these things, our hearts did what, church family? They melted. Neither did there remain any more courage in anyone because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and on earth beneath. You see, church family, if you listen to the they will always hold you back. They will always keep you back. They will never encourage you to enjoy all that God has for you. Right? You know, I call it the barking dog syndrome. How many of you have ever walked by a house with a fenced-in dog? You're walking by. What's the dog doing? You know why they're barking? Because you're going places and they're not. You know, baby, they're barking in your life might not sound like, burr, burr, burr. It might sound like, well, who do you think you are? Well, you're not better than I am. You know, just because you went, I heard it, church family. Some of my friends that I thought were good friends of mine. Well, you think you're better than me just because you went to Oral Roberts University? Well, I heard it. That's an actual statement. So what, now you think you're big stuff now because you're in the ministry? You're no better than me. Or, you know, okay, so you ran the Boston Marathon, so what, you think you're hot stuff? Or this and that? I'm like, the sway of they, who will you listen to the voice of God that is always pushing you farther and upward, or the voice of they that's saying, don't go anywhere, stay like we are, be who we are, walk like we are, talk like we are, because our experience says it cannot be done. Let's pray. Holy Father, thank you for your love for us. Thank you for this time together in your word. Lord, help us not to be like the 10. Help us to be like the 2, Joshua and Caleb, who had a spirit of excellence in them. And a spirit of willingness to go for it, Lord. To do what you wanted them to do as they took a step forward in your plan for their lives and the lives of a nation. We thank you for all this, Lord Jesus. Help us to be encouraged. In your name we pray. Amen.